Hey guys, welcome to Late Night Sessions with Bean. Today we are spilling the beans with the one and only, the lovely Langa Mabuso. Hey Langa.
Where are my sound effects? Hey, it's so good to be on the Late Night Sessions with Bean.
You're welcome. So, who's Langa? Tell us a bit about Langa and what Langa's all about.
Oof, that question is so broad.
I know.
But I'll keep it simple. Langa the musician is a singer, a songwriter, all-around musician who was raised in Johannesburg, South Africa. I was born in Parktown, spent the first 5 years of my life in Diepkloof with my grandmother. We moved to the southern suburbs. We lived in Mondial and then Meerdale. Mm-hmm. Fell in love with music at a very young age, sitting at the back of a hall in Orlando, watching my parents rehearse for choral competitions. They were in the choir. And that's what I would do when I would visit them on the weekend before I visit them. And that's where the love for music came in. When I was about 8, discovered a voice and really started chasing a dream from that age until now, really.
Yeah.
To break down Ulanga, we have to, like, break down the name. Langa is my father's surname. Mm-hmm. Sorry, we're in Johannesburg. There will be a hadida every now and then.
It's all good.
Yeah. So, Ulanga is my father's surname, Sotholo Mdlaka, AmaZulu. Wase Thekwini, siphuma eMpongate. That's where my father's family is based and where they come from, but really home is Isimsinga. And then Mavuso is my mother's surname. Mm. That is a Swati side of my family. My grandfather fled Swaziland late one night in the whatever 19 where whenever went to the Free State, met my grandmother, and they had children and they had my mom. And so the name Langa speaks to a recognizing of both parts of who I am. It honors both people that I come from, and it gives a nod to all those that I walk with.
Mm.
Yeah.
Deep stuff.
Not really.
it sounds quite deep. So your journey actually started when you were 8. So you've been at it for a while.
Yeah, when I was 8, I discovered a voice, but I was incredibly embarrassed by it. And I hid it for a while until this one kid heard me singing while I was in the bathroom. So I thought I was in the bathroom alone.
Mm.
And I was like singing because, during class, then your teacher lets you go to the bathroom, like break time when there's tons of people.
Yeah.
I'm singing and I'm walking back to class. Then before I get to class, I like keep quiet because no one knows I can sing.
Mm.
Get back to class, sit down. Then this kid comes back into class and he's like, "Ma'am, Matty can sing." And I was like, "Oh my
no."
You know? And he's like, "He can really sing." And then the teacher says, "Well, sing for us." You know? And I think she thought that he was like, it wasn't a real thing. Mm. And I sang and the whole class like went crazy. Like they were blown away. The teacher was just like, "Okay, you have to go sing for the other class.
Mm.
Okay, you have to sing at assembly." Like those little things. And for a kid who always felt quite othered and not really part of the group, it was nice to have a little something that kind of made me feel valued or worthy of just space. And music was always that home for me, you know?
Yeah.
Where I could really, really feel love in a very tangibly intangible way, you know. It was something really special for me, and it's something that I still feel to this day. But the one thing that I did as I grew, let go of, is kind of like letting it be my sense of identity, because for a long time I was the singer boy. And that's all I was to people. And there came a time when my voice broke and I was devastated because my voice just wasn't the same. And I'd realized that so much of my value had become
your voice.
Yeah. And so I learned to separate that and to be Nati and to be someone who is a friend, is a brother, and is cared for intently because of who I am first, before a gift or a talent. So that's where the journey with music happened. Obviously my parents sang. I then find a newspaper clipping. We have this culture of reading the paper at home on a Sunday. My dad worked for the Sunday Times, and we would read it every Sunday, and we would just pass it around. And my favorite part of the newspaper was the lifestyle section, because I was quite drawn to the arts and things like that. And this one day, at the end of it, I see a little advert for a school called the National School of the Arts. And I cut it up, and it said grade 8 to grade 12. And it said dance, music, art, drama. Cut it out of the newspaper, stuck it on my mirror, and I said to my mom, this is where I'm going for high school. I knew nothing about the school at that point, you know. Very soon after that, I watched the movie Fame, and I was like, this is what that school must be like. I was like, this is what that NSA school must be about. And I mean, in those days, internet was like, was the dial-up. You would take the telephone line and put it in the
computer. Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, we would only probably get like 500 megabytes for the whole month, and it must last, you know. And I would literally use our entire month's internet at home on researching the school called the National School of the Arts. Like, I'd be on their website every single day, just dreaming about being at that school and wanting to be around people who are like-minded, but also to explore my talent and to really chase a dream of being a musician. And yeah, that's where the music journey starts.
And what was the school? What you expected?
Yeah, yo, NSA was everything and more for me. It was such a beautiful journey for me to be at that school, because I felt like I was at a place where I could live out my truth without any fear or bounds. You know, I was surrounded by incredible creatives and artists who would shape so much of who I am now, but also who would inspire so much of who I am now. I met some incredible people while I was there who are my friends to this day, you know. My friendship with Zoe Mudija started at NSA. Since we were 14, you know, and she's a musician I revere and love, but she's also a friend who's really near and dear. I had matrix and seniors who were doing amazing things in the industry, you know. I remember getting to NSA, and one of my seniors was Gregorio Capers, and he had just was doing the circuit of Blood Diamond and the Oscars. And I remember Katlego Navasen and Karabon Chweng, these YoTV presenters who were also like Katlego on a show called Famous, where they made an album. It was just so nice to be inspired by your peers, you know, to get into school and to not look at them as these faraway celebrity kind of people, but to see them really sitting in a maths class with you and them struggling as much as you do, to sit in a music theory lesson with a person who might look successful from the outside, but really it's just grafting.
Yeah, they're also learning.
Yeah, and learning as much as you are. So it was a very reassuring space, but it was also fun. It was so much fun. Like, we really used to just sing and dance every moment that we had. Like, I was friends with the biggest art nerds ever. Like, all of my friends really, really loved what they did.
You were basically living a movie.
Yeah, I was living in a movie. Man. Like, I remember we even, the way we loved to sing, when we would leave, we would be like, "Sicheluge makaya." Yeah.
And then they'd be harmonizing and so on.
Literally. I remember. So much fun. Yeah, it was everything that I expected it to be. It also prepared us for the industry, you know, because the pressure of always being the best and knowing that you're not the only one that is talented, of finding a way to present yourself differently than other people, and finding your own voice that really makes you uniquely you. That was an important part of the journey. I loved it. I loved it. I loved every second of being at the NSA from grade 8 until matric. It was a splendid time. It had its ups and downs, but it was really, for the most part, one of the best times of my life.
So how would you describe your music?
The music is led by love,
mm-hmm.
Informed by truth, and really centered in soul.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the genre I'm playing with, it will always be soulful. It will always speak about love. And I always reflect quite honestly, you know. Yeah. And I think we witnessed that in the album. Which is my debut project, you know, where on Searching, it's a very ballady and it's singer kind of song where I really share my heart and that story of a broken love in a really super emotional, emotive kind of way in that ballad style. But then we move on to songs like All of Me, which is like a crazy pop song, you know? And it speaks about a one-night stand, you know?
We can all relate.
Yeah, and the format is different to A Searching, but the songs, at the end of the day, you can hear the soul in them. You can hear the story of love that is there. And it really is a reflection of my truth, because every song is something that's happened.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was about to say, congratulations, like, halala, ooh, on the album. Like, ooh, we love, I mean, I love it so much. I mean, it's the content we deserve.
Engos.
Were there any unexpected challenges on making the album? Like, how was the journey for you? Were there surprises?
Yeah. You know, no one teaches you how to create an album. That's number one.
Mm.
I did NSA, went to the University of Cape Town. Like, at no point in my life was I ever taught how to make an album. You know? And so I'd always imagined that it would happen like in this really glamorous way, like in the movies, you know, they sign you, then you're in this big studio and you're allowed to write music with fellow composers and producers, and you create and you go on this journey and everything is kind of just, you wake up and you create, you know. But the reality of it was I had to figure out how to do it on my own with my own resources, you know,
because
Things just weren't happening in the way that I had expected them to happen. And I mean, rightfully so, because the industry doesn't work the way that it does in movies, or at least the way that it does internationally, you know?
Yeah.
There's just not as much budget. There's just not as much structure, you know?
Mm.
And so it became quite a taxing journey, like emotionally and mentally, because I was trying to juggle just keeping up with life and like the little bills that I had then, and then having to figure out how to get into studio, how to book a studio, where to get the resources to get into studio, how do I reach out to certain producers that I don't have access to, you know, like, what do I do? And it ended up being a process of just gathering those that I already know and love, you know? I worked with people that I've known for a while, or who I had created relationships with, where I could really ask for a favor, or just kind of figure out ways to make it work with them, you know?
Yeah.
And so I worked with Darren Blankenser, who I did Sunday Blues with, and Mvula and Searching and Spirit and many songs, and that like all of my ballads would be Darren. And we just kind of went into his little studio, Gubo E, Bedford View, and we did all the ballads, you know. And I called Bubele Boy, and he had said, you know, I want to hear you on a more up tempo kind of situation. Will you fly down to Cape Town and let's record? And I was like, cool, I'll get us a studio in Cape Town. Have a great relationship with Red Bull. Red Bull put me up in their studios more than once, you know, for weeks, you know, and they'd give me the studio space for free to work in, as they with most talent. And so we created the up-tempo stuff there. We did Panther, we did Power Lines, we did Pretend. I also did Calamities at Red Bull Studios. So that's where I kind of like played with the up-tempo stuff. And then on my first trip to London, I was being introduced to my international management then while I was signed, and we kind of created many different relationships with different producers. We didn't really work. And by the time I was going back to London, the label wasn't really participating so much in my journey of creating the album. And so I self-financed a trip to London and reached out to those producers that I had connected with the first time I was there. And we created the really beautiful contemporary stuff like Love Lost, Cheat Code, All of Me, and these are all of these people are all just stellar artists and musicians and collaborators. You know, when I look at the Noble Duo that I recorded with in Cape Town, when we started recording, we were just like kind of fresh out of varsity, but now they've got an insane catalog of music with Beyonce. They did Find Your Way Back. They did Ebai for Amifaku. Darren is really opening up his wings and working with other artists through all the work that he's done with me. And then the international producers were just stellar artists who already have a great name behind them, you know. At the time, Joe, who I did Cheat Code with, he produced Now That I'm Sober for Mahalia. He produced most of Gallant's Grammy-nominated album. He just came with a crazy resume, you know. And Lyndon J, who I did Love Lost with, he had worked on the Chloe and Halle their first project. He was coming off of tour with Khalees when we had worked on that song. The day before I even came to studio with him, Tom Misch and Ruben James were there recording, and like Tom Misch is just a big deal to me. Ruben James is Sam Smith's pianist and also producer. So I was just sitting like amidst the people that I've always wanted to be surrounded with. Even through the challenges of it all, I still found myself being aligned with the people that were right for the project, and also just being just manifesting all of the things that I didn't know that I wanted so badly, but I knew, but I had written down, you know, so that have happened for the album. I've gone back to my journal and I'm like, oh my God, you know, we said we wanted it to be of an international quality. We said we wanted to sell so many units by this day. We said we wanted it to be this kind of record, you know, like, and I looked at all of those things and I was able to achieve it. You know, I wanted it to be a deeply personal record. I wanted it to be open. I wanted it to cultivate a space of healing and truth. And we did that, man. We did that despite all of the challenges that came with the process of creating the record. Yeah.
Beautiful stuff. I mean, all of your songs are so deep and so powerful. I can only imagine the process of penning these moments and emotions, you know, practically reliving them in order to share with us. Mm. That must have been quite an experience, no?
Yeah, no, it really was like, woo. I think the track, the way that the track listing goes is kind of the best way that you can witness the process of sharing for me on that record. In the beginning I was angry, you know, and you hear it on Calamities and you hear it on those kinds of songs where I'm just like really upset. And even in that moment, it was that kind of thing of just like, I'm wiling. So I'm just like, diddy bop, city hop, in a drop top, a city drop for your love. And, you know, it's that kind of thing, you know. And masang pugumoya, like, I don't even, it's not even, I'm not trying to pretend to be fine, you know. Like, I
just
fall apart and I just go, no man gets from Quakongi Tabanga Wena, no man shinjinda, Kikalela Wena, you know, and that's the most honest that you can be. Like, to say to someone that, like, I still think about you, even though you've gone and hurt me, you know?
Yeah.
There's power lines where I go, you found someone better than I. I'm still here wondering why you would even try, you know. And one of my friends called me the other day. She's like, oh, babe, to say that someone has found someone better than you. I said, no.
It's a lot.
I said, no, babe, you're missing the whole lyric. I'm saying to you that you think that you found someone better than I. And that's why I'm wondering why you would even try, you know. And so I'm saying you found someone better than me because that's what you expect me to say, but and try, you know? And so it's very, the work is very layered and it is a conversation with this really big breakup that I went through. And really, it was important for me to kind of, to heal from it. And I think that we reached a really beautiful place of healing.
Is there one song on the album that even when you listen to it, you're like, "Yo, is this me?" And it still hits you hard.
Ooh, yeah. You know, it changes for me because I've been listening to this record for the past 3 years. You guys are for the first.
We're only getting it now.
You know. And so the favorites changed over time. I remember there was a time when, like, when Searching was all I would play in the car. Like, if someone ever saw me in traffic in, like, 2018, I'm sure all I was singing was, like, oh, I'm searching for love, you know? Love Lost, I had a moment with that. Panther, I had a moment with that where I was just, like, you know, feeling the emotion and feeling that time in my life, you know? But I think now that the album's out, I've resonated so much again with Pretend.
Love like, Pretend.
That song for me, it's just so bare, you know?
Like,
I'm not trying to sing and impress you. It's just a real conversation with an old friend. And we're trying so hard not to pretend for one another and to be open and to reconnect the way that we used to. But by the end of it, we realize that it just will never be the same.
Yeah.
It just will.
That song is just so deep.
Yeah.
I played it for my friend the other day. I was like, let me plug you onto something. And we just both sat there, like, when the song ended, we sat there, there was silence in the room, and we're like, yo, are you okay?
Are you okay?
Hey, it was a lot.
Yeah.
And the other day when I was on your live, I remember you were actually pretty excited that someone had noticed that there's a certain way that you introduce your songs. Like, the first part of your song has to be, like, you get it, you got it, good.
And yes, then yes.
No?
It's my 6-word rule.
Okay.
I've got a little rule with every song, right? Mm-hmm. That in the first 6 words, you must know. And I learned it. I forgot who taught me this. But it was like poems.
Mm-hmm.
6-word poems that people would write. And I'd gone on this whole website. I think it's called 6-word poems. And you would get the gist of the entire story in 6 words. Mm-hmm. And so I started to make that rule for myself when I wrote music, is that I want the first 6 words to encompass everything that the song is about.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I started to do, because it then made it easier to write the rest of the song, because the whole song was finished by the first 6 words.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's a beautiful method of writing that I've found works for me. But I change all the time. You know, I used to write in the bath. When I wrote my first EP, Liminal Sketches, I would sit in the bath naked. And that's how I would write. I would have my computer open, playing all of the instrumental stuff that we'd worked on. And mm-hmm. then I would sit in the bath, play the instrumental, have my phone recording, and I would just sing my heart out. And from there, I would just write it down, and then I would set up a session. And if I had a session with someone where they'd worked on something without me there yet, and they would expect me to come and record, I'd be like, please send it to me two days before. And
yeah.
2 days before, I would literally sit in the bath and try to figure out what the song was saying. But because I felt like I was the most bare in that bath, and so why would I be afraid to be honest if I'm already so vulnerable in that space, you know? And then when I started writing the album, I had just started the 6-word poem thing, you know, where I'd found like these little 6-word poems that I thought was so, it was so crazy to me that like an entire thought or complex idea
is captured in just 6 words.
Be captured in 6 words, you know? Like, here's an example of one of the 6-word poems. I'm smiling doesn't mean I'm happy. That's the whole poem.
Yeah.
You know?
That actually just says a lot.
It says a lot.
Mm.
That's just kind of like the thing about these 6-word poems, is that like you get the gist of everything that's being said. And it's simple. Like, you don't have to do too much, you know?
Yeah. Now you're not there listening to the whole song wondering what it's about.
Yeah, but even if you are wondering, it's just like, if you are wondering, just go back to the first 6 words.
Yeah.
You know?
Then you'll know what it's all about.
Yeah.
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 And what do you hope is the message in your music? What do you wish people continue to take away from your music?
To love fearlessly, to live in truth, and to always seek healing.
Mm.
Yeah, that's really what I want people to take from it. Because if I'm going to sing to you about some one night stand that I had in London in the back of some fancy car on the way to a penthouse, like, that's me telling you like how fearless I was in searching for new love. And that's the honesty of like my life. But also I know that it's not real, you know? Because I was seeking healing, I knew that it was just a part of the journey toward the healing, you know? And so I was able to love fearlessly, to live truthfully by sharing it with you, but also seek the truth and the healing, you know? And so, yeah, that's the message in the music. You know, we go from calamities where things are falling apart and it feels like it's the end of everything. And then we end up at Love Lost, you know? And the reason why the song is called Love Lost is because I didn't lose, because if I had an opportunity to go on, love would have won. But because things didn't work out, love lost.
You know?
And even in that song, there's such a beautiful moment of acceptance of things no longer being, you know. There's a tenderness in remembering that love. There's a tenderness in remembering and letting go of what we had in that September, and knowing that it was never meant to last.
Lovely. I mean, now things are starting to normalize, but there's a time where we were going through of lockdown.
Yes. Yeah.
How did that time impact you, like personally and as an artist?
Mm.
First of all, how are you doing? Have you recovered from that mgo?
Like,
you know, that time of being locked away and not being able to see people, be out there, how did you manage to stay positive and keep a healthy mindset and, you know, not take that time as solitary punishment, but time to, like, you know, reflect and be with yourself?
Can I be like a crappy person and just say how much I love it?
No, that's not crappy at all.
I absolutely loved the fact that I had time to focus on one thing and not be running around doing a million things like I usually am. I really enjoyed being able to focus on mixing and mastering the album, to have clear plans for how I was going to put it out, and to really have to have an uninfluenced, like one that isn't influenced, an opinion on what I want things to look like for the album, you know. And so it was a great time for me, if I'm being very honest with you. I got to work during the day sometimes, and make my brother and I dinner and lunches, trying new recipes out. There was days when I would sleep in all day and not really be like receptive to anyone. It was an incredibly spiritually demanding time. And I'm one of those people who enjoys actually connecting more with that side of themselves, because I believe that grounding and that rooting helps you when you're in a place where things start to float. You know, it's good to have the grounding. And so I was able to pray more, to really have more clear visions on things and relationships that I had known. And so for me, to be honest with you, it was a good time. I mean, the only stress, I must be honest with you about, was really the income. The loss of income was my main stress, because I was like, these savings are gonna last for so long. If this thing goes on and on and on, like, get screwed. And that was really my main concern. But luckily, we never got to a place where my life had to change drastically. You know, I was able to retain most of my assets, all of my assets, in fact. I didn't have to change so much of my life, and so that was a blessing for me, that I was still able to keep everything intact and really still be able to provide for myself, my brother who lives with me, I think I've always been one of those people who just love the fact that I've got such a great support system. You know, my family is incredible and I've got some amazing friends. And so I always knew good.
Someone's
going to have my back, you know.
Yeah.
And luckily, we never had to get there, you know. And so, yeah, it was an interesting time. It was an interesting time, but good for me. It was a good growing moment for me.
Awesome stuff. So what's your current media diet? What are you reading? What are you listening to? What are you watching?
What am I reading? I'm reading Vagabond. I forgot who it's by. It was gifted to me quite recently. What else am I reading? You know, like, Indaba, My Children is not like a book that I feel like you read in one go. It's like one of those things where you read, like, and that book is, I'm always reading Indaba, My Children, because it confuses the living daylights out of me sometimes. And I think it needs to be chewed out slowly, because Bab Credo Mutwa is not the easiest
person to understand.
To take in. Musically, I am excited for Younger Chief's new album. I've been listening to that. Been listening to myself. I've been listening to Leanne's album. Monet had a beautiful single out called Volodu. It's not my thing. Vivian. Vision-wise, what haven't I watched? You know, for a long time,
everything. I
didn't know what's happening on TV. But, like, now I actually know stuff. Like, when it was lockdown, I watched maybe a million episodes of Survivor. Like, I think I watched 5 different seasons of Survivor or more. No judgment. But now, yeah, I'm not really following anything intently. On the television. I'm waiting for The Crown. I don't think we're getting a new pose this year, but it would have been lovely to have a new pose. It would be lovely to have a new sex education. Waiting for the new Sam Smith album. Waiting to see Adele on SNL this weekend. Yeah.
Nice. So before you go, I have a few hot seat questions for you.
Sure thing, chicken wing.
So what's the last song that you listened to?
Last song that I listened to was Zoe Modiga, Isekazini.
Yeah. And what's that one question that you're tired of hearing, but you'd like to address and never have to answer again?
What genre do you make?
What genre do you make?
I don't have a genre.
Okay. What are some things that sound like compliments but are actually insults?
That you come across? You sound like... Oh, this is South Africa's version of... No, I'm myself. And I'm not South Africa's version of anything, because I'm an international artist. National credit. I have a song with Grace Carter, a K-pop star. We did a remake of Nene Cherry and Yusondo's 7 Seconds. You know, that has on radio in the UK. My music plays in the UK. It plays all over the world. You know, I have an audience all over the world. And so to say that I am a South African version of something, or I sound like, it's not true.
It's rude, really, really not, actually.
And I really don't like it, if I'm being honest.
That's true. What's the strangest thing you know too much about?
What is the strangest thing that I know too much about? I mean, I know every creative director at fashion houses. Like, I am obsessed with fashion. Like, I can tell you about, like, Lan Van when Alba Albers was still there. I can tell you about Celine during Phoebe Philo's time. Like, I am obsessed with fashion. Like, I know too much. Like, sometimes, like, I would sit down with my friends who work in fashion And I'd be like, do you remember that collection, like, when Phoebe... And they'll be like, yes.
Even
they don't know. Even know. And like I was like, oh my god, we need to talk about Abba Abez, like, and his time at Lanvin, because like right now I'm not really sure what's going on at Lanvin. And they'll be like, come on, Abba Abez. I'm like, you're actually joking. You are a big star fashion designer and you don't know who Abba Abez is. It's wild. Fashion, yeah.
Yeah, give us one celeb impersonation.
I mean, there's only one person that everyone can do, you know.
And that is
Bonang Matiba.
Yes.
No, nah.
Yes. Le Bon.
No, nah. Araba tidi sko bingi mo na araba ta ba shimane ba bantle.
Yes.
Ss araba bantle. Ukilo ampona kile muntle o. I love her. She's a gem.
She is. When was the last time you partied all night long? Ooh,
girl, I do that all the time. I think it was... There's a party called Sunday Roast. It happened last night. It happened at Great Dane by my friends called Until Until. I remember doing... Sunday Roast. I shot the cover of Mosaic. Did Sunday Roast. Partied. Moved to Rockets. Natasha was having her birthday party. Partied there. Yeah. I told everyone to come to my house. We had a party at my house. Party. Into the next day, we continued partying. And it was like Monday the next day. But I mean, we're freelancers and artists, so we can continue. We continued. I think... It was on Wednesday when it ended, and then I had a hangover of over a week because I'm 26.
About to say, what's your favorite hangover, Rimmel?
Oh, listen, chicken licken.
Let me tell you, chicken licken.
It's called Party 8. Get a Party 8 meal, acha. Get hot sauce. Then you get 4 chili cheese sliders. Then you get 2 stonies. And then also the night before, you need to have some milk thistle, which is like the tablets. You need Energade, 2 bottles of the blue Energade, because you'll come back like nobody's business. And if I have a gig, I also have like ginger tea, and my voice will be back like it was never gone. Yeah.
On the Sony there, I agree with you. Manja, the problem is I'm all the way in Germany, so the party eggs,
listen, I don't know, like, yo, European food. When I was in Europe, I was struggling. I was like, yo, food has no seasoning. I remember getting Zinger wings, and I said to my friend, I was like,
they're not hot at all.
I'm like, this is normal.
They're not hot. Like, I resort to Indian food because
I think London has the most Indian restaurants outside of India.
Now, Indian food is the way.
Yes, Indian food.
Indian with some food, ginger ale.
But also Jamaican food.
Those spices really do it. Yeah, because at some point, at the age that we're at, hangovers are dead. You're no longer 16 anymore.
Your body's like, who do you think you are? And sometimes you just really need to chill. So I've resorted to having like one big weekend a month, and the rest, like, I can't. Sometimes even less. Like, I just... My friends are like, hey, you're actually becoming such a grandpa. And I'm like, that's fine with me and my soul.
Yes. And then last but not least, you know, Stalui Vala with the right note thing. Please entice us with a bite of anything that you feel like singing for us.
Let me try a thing. I've been sang the whole day. My life is safe with you. I've died in homes untrue. My faith resides in you. And I've died in homes untrue. Spirit, overflow in you and help me see your view, your view. You make me sing with an warmed up voice.
Yes!
My vocal teacher would kill me.
I mean, we don't know the difference. Either way, only you know the difference.
It's unhealthy to do that.
I see, Avonga. Thank you so much.
For speaking to me.
It's been an honor
having you.
Take care.
Stay blessed.
All the best in all your other projects that you're going to do.
All the best with your platform.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning into that lovely, lovely, lovely chat that I just had with the awesome and talented Nkosinathi Nhlakanipho Mavuso, a.k.a. Langa Mavuso. We were just catching up on the goings and the making of his debut album, Langa. I hope you guys enjoyed that, and I hope you guys had just as much fun as we did. I'm not leaving you guys empty-handed. I'm leaving you guys with a track from the album titled Love Lost by the one and only. Take care. Stay blessed. From your being with the biggest love.
I got scars in my eyes. I've been wrestling the stars. Sunless skies are way too vast. Exploding balls of gas. My heart still sings your jazz. Blue rose right, that's all you say. You've got a new life. Souls from a new flight. I wish I could see you there. Love, I still remember when we first met. It was September, never meant to last. Do you still remember when we first kissed? It was September. To gray, you still hide away in your buried grave. The strums of love play in my head. Your dreams live in mine. I feel it in my home. Songs you made in yesterday. I wish I could see you there. Love, I still remember when we first met. It was September, never meant to last. Do you still remember when we first kissed? It was September.